So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up.
Is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2014 study through 1st and 2nd Peter, titled Living Hope. For more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get into the study.
We have something really special planned for you. As I said, we're going to have today share with us, Jerry Frazee, share with us. And the reason that we're doing this is I love to see the Word of God shown out in the words of someone else, in the lives of someone else, and sharing with you how the Lord has brought us through these sorts of things. Lord, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus, Father. I just pray for the children's ministry that's going on right now. Father, we pray your covering over each child that's in there. Lord, we pray for the workers that are there. We pray, Lord, that you would just give them wisdom, that you would give them a peace, that everyone in there, Lord, would have a time of just rejoicing and knowing you better, Lord. And as we get together and get to listen to what Jerry has to share with us, Lord, we want to have hearts open. We want our minds to be open, Lord. We want to rest in you. We want to know that you, Lord, are in complete control. We want to be mindful of the fact that you are in complete control. We know, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is here. Cause us, Lord, to be sensitive to that, that we would be very aware of your presence with us. And Father, we pray that you would grant us all wisdom and spiritual understanding as we listen to what Jerry has to share with us through her words, Lord, of the things that you have done in her life. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please welcome Jerry.
Thank you, Joy. Thank you for asking me to do this. And as I was praying about it, the Lord had laid on my heart a favorite passage in the book of Revelation. I love the book of Revelation. It's one of my favorites. And the reason being is it reveals Jesus Christ in all his glory. And I believe in pre-trib, and I believe we're in those first five chapters. We're before the throne. We're worshiping God. And then the great tribulation will be going on down here. And when you get to chapter 19, you see heaven again, just praising and worshiping God. When I walked in and heard singing that song, I knew that's what God wanted me to bring out today to you. The reason we are going through the suffering, especially here in America, we're not like the persecuted church overseas in the Middle East or anywhere where people are being martyred for their faith. We're still able to join here together, and we're so blessed. And when you saw the video last week and they were kissing the Bible, and we have, how many Bibles do you have in your home? I mean, we're so incredibly blessed. And to be able to sit in our homes or come to church and worship God and read his word. And do we realize how blessed we are to live here in America? But God is allowing suffering as I've never seen. I was in a ministry for 30 years, a women's Bible study for 30 years. And I'll tell you, I've never seen or heard the amount of suffering going on within the body of Christ as we are today. Why? Because the Lord's preparing us for heaven. It's to glorify him, and he is preparing us for heaven. And in chapter 19, verses 7 and 8, John wrote, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, Christ, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, you and me, the bride of Christ, has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Do you understand that your daily living before Christ, that you are making your wedding gown? You are. It's the righteous acts of the saints. That's what our wedding gowns will be like when we come face to face with our bridegroom, our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready? Are you being prepared? You are. And God's allowing suffering in our lives, and it is getting more intense. But being Christians who have genuine faith in Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, we have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit within us. We have the resurrection power of Christ within us to rise up and overcome any and all trials God allows in our lives. And He will. He is our strength. He is, I know for me, and I believe for you, He is my all in all. Without Him, I can do nothing. But with Him, all things are possible, right? He's the one who strengthens me. And when I was growing up, my husband and I were talking about this. And it's interesting, when we grew up, we had quote-unquote religion, but we had knowledge, and not much, to tell you the truth. We didn't read or study the Bible. And we believed in Jesus. We believed in heaven and hell. But we were living for ourselves. And we went through our party days and the whole thing until God brought us in His love to a place of brokenness. And I knew something, actually someone, was so missing in my life. And I started going to various churches. We had come from two very different kinds of churches and just never found something. And again, I'll be honest, we got caught up in our party days. And I'm so thankful for God's love, that those words, He called, He's chosen us, that means everything to me. Before the foundations of the world were created, He called and chose you and me to be His own, to be His bride. And He's preparing us. And the road isn't easy, but it wasn't for Jesus going up to Calvary. But He did that because He loved us so much. Not my will, but your will be done, Father. And so here we are, waiting for Him to come and take us either through the valley of the shadow of death, and or the rapture is my hope. I pray all the time, Maranatha, Maranatha, please come quickly, Lord Jesus. My husband and I are so ready to be home with the Lord forever. We don't fear death. It's just the way we get out of here. It's not fun. We've both had some major health issues. But we know that God is conforming us into the image of Christ. He's preparing us for our eternal home. And Paul's letter, he makes it very clear that if we keep our focus on Christ, if we follow His example, then we're going to stand firm and strong and courageous, and we're going to be able to endure our times of suffering. Because so many are going through physical and emotional and financial problems in our country, probably worse than ever, and it is intensifying. But nothing to fear, not if you're in Christ. He's with us and for us, and He'll get us through it. So we just have to pray that we'll keep on keeping on to His glory. And we will if we just hang on to Him, hold His hand, and let Him, the Holy Spirit, just guide us in and through this life and glorify God through it all. So we're being purified. And I want to share something with you that really struck me years ago that helped me. And we all have stories. We all have testimonies and things that we've gone through. I mean, we've gone through a lot of different things, several suicides in friends, and I could go on, and I know you could too. But something that hit me, and I see it now, that God was preparing for what we were heading into, which I hadn't a clue. I have a dear friend who was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I went with her when she found out and threw her some of her appointments, and I took her the day she went in for her first mastectomy. She ended up having a second one just this past year. But in the year 2000, when she was diagnosed, I was on the treadmill, and I was just crying out to God My heart was broken when she was told she had breast cancer. And the reason my heart was so broken was I didn't understand God's thinking and reasons for this, because her husband had had ALS for 6 years. He was totally bedridden. She was the prime caregiver. And I thought, oh God, to go through that when she needs her arms. And I was crying out to God, please help me to understand this. And do you know, in his still, audible voice, I heard, Jerry, I know you don't understand, but you see, I have entrusted Arnie and Shirley with this because they are glorifying me in and through it. That changed my whole perspective on suffering, that he has entrusted this to us, ladies. And so I wanted to share with you a couple of things that God has entrusted to us and gotten us through. Number one, we have three kids, three grown. They're all grown. I'm old. I'm getting older by the minute. But he got caught up in drugs, the whole Hollywood scene, drugs, sex, alcohol, the whole scene. And he was going downhill, ruining his life. And he was married, had a beautiful three-year-old, our Chelsea, and he was ruining his life. He lost his job, ruined his marriage, ended up divorced, couch to couch, would live with us for a while until we just said no more, because we had to learn tough love. And you don't understand the words if you've never experienced it until you have to go through it. It is tough when you have to send someone you love out onto the streets. When I see the homeless people, my heart breaks. I wonder, do they have family? Because he had a family who loved him, had a room for him, was there for him. We wanted to put him in rehab, and he refused it all. He was so caught up in his life. And I was so concerned he was going to OD, because he almost did a few times, and I had no assurance that he was saved. He knew he had the seeds of truth, and he had said the sinner's prayer several times, but I needed confirmation from God. Was he saved? And you know, in 2006, God assured me, he is saved. He's a drug addict, Jerry, but he is born again. He had finally really come to Christ. But he would go before the Lord and say, I am so weak. I am a sinner. I'm a drug addict. We'd pray with him for deliverance. It was a nightmare. And it was so sad to see this wonderful young man, because even a doctor would eventually say, you're a good guy, you just need to get away from the alcohol and drugs. And he is a good guy. But God, I know we saw God's hands on him all over the place. God's hands have always been on our lives, on your lives. And you see his love and his protection. And sometimes you see things happen that are so horrendous, it just overwhelms you. Well, this went on for 20 years. And we were praying. I had so many people praying for his deliverance. And in 2003, he had ended up coming back home to live. And I was studying the book of Revelation. Well, you know, when there was such oppression with him in our home, and I'd pray through the house, I'd blast my praise music, and we'd pray with him, and you could feel the oppression leave. I mean, very bizarre what goes on. Well, during this time, my husband was diagnosed with stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So all of a sudden, he's self-employed, has been since 76, and all of a sudden, God had been preparing us, I know, to downsize. We had a big house, we didn't need it, and it was just time, and we had been talking about it. So when he was diagnosed, we knew now is the time, because we had no income for months, and but God provided. God is so faithful. He's so true. And that's my prayer. Lord, please empower me to be faithful and true to you every day. Walk in the power of the Spirit. It's just God's word. What would we do without it? We're so blessed. And so all of a sudden, Bill's going to go through chemo. And they gave him the strongest chemo they said they had. And they thought they could give him 5 years. And they have another drug, which interestingly comes through AIDS research. Because I used to get upset about all the money going to AIDS, and I thought there's so much cancer and heart problems. Do you know there is so much good coming out for the autoimmune system out of that? And I wanted to let you know that, because God works all things together for good, doesn't he? He'll use it all. And so anyway, my Bill started his chemo, and we were going to go in the next morning when probably about 3 a.m, something like that. I heard Randy's voice, and we had moved. Oh, yeah, we moved. God brought a Christian couple February, like the 1st of February. We hadn't even listed our home officially yet. God brought it because I prayed a Christian couple would buy our home. They came, they saw it, they loved it, they bought it, wanted a 30-day escrow. We'd been there 24 years. How do you pack up a house? You know, my first thing to the Lord had been, how do we even put the house on the market and show it, Lord, with him on the couch going through chemo? And I thought, when people come in and know there's cancer, they're going to fly. Didn't happen. God took care of it. But God. I love those two words. But God. And he brought this Christian couple. They bought a 30-day escrow. God provided us. I got my Christian friend who's a real estate lady. We went out looking all over the place. And God brought us to a place just a couple blocks up from where I lived. And we bought it. Moved, and my sisters from Bible study came, helped pack me up, and helped me move, and helped me get settled. I mean, it was such a God thing. And I was getting money through the mail, because people knew we had no income right now. It was just so God providing for us. Well, back to the morning, 3 a.m, I hear my son calling me, and I knew this wasn't good. I'm walking across this hallway, and I see him in the bathroom on the floor, and he's got a weird cutting tool, and I'm going, oh my gosh, what's he doing now? And he had cut up the whole floor and said there were demons in it. I don't know if you remember, but on Brookhurst and Talbert, there used to be a Christian bookstore and then a psychic bookstore or psychic store. I never walked into it, moved in, and that was right behind where we were, and he said the demons are coming over. Craziness. I had to ask him to not ask. I told him, you have to leave. I can't deal with you and your dad going through this. And it broke my heart because I didn't know where he was going to go, where he was going to stay. Was he going to end up on the streets? Well, he ended up on couches, and eventually he did end up homeless. But I knew we couldn't keep enabling him. That doesn't do it. They've got to get to a place of brokenness. We all came to that place, didn't we? You have to get to, I pray now when I hear these stories, I pray they get to that place of brokenness and reach out to Jesus, because he's the only one who can and will deliver us and bring us through these trials. And he did. Bill and I began to pray that Randy, he wouldn't go to rehab, that he'd go to jail. He'd have a roof over his head, and it'd be rehab. I didn't know they can get drugs and different things in jail, though. There's so many details, so many stories. I think I'll write a book. But not to take away ever from the Word of God. This is the only book, the manual for Christian living we should be in, saturating our lives with. But anyway, he moved, and we started praying he'd go to jail. And he did begin to go to jail, in and out, in and out. And he'd always tell them that he had Christ in him. Because they ask you, do you hear voices? Because so many are drug-induced schizophrenia. And he was. And he did hear, but he was hearing, once he came to Christ, he was hearing the Holy Spirit. And of course, they thought he was nuts. And they didn't want to hear it. And he said, well, Christ lives in me. I have the Holy Spirit. So, yes, I hear a voice. And they thought he was nuts. Well, it got to the point where they sent him out to Patton. This was in, forget my notes, right? You were right. Send him out to a state mental hospital in San Bernardino. That was in 2004 or 5. And I've totally not using my notes. It's in me. But anyway, he got out there, and he was there for 4 months. And we began to drive out there on Fridays. Every Friday we'd go, and it's a lockdown, and they check you going through. And it's not something you want to go through. It was hard to drive out to San Bernardino every week, but to go into that place, so demonic, so demonic. They put them on drugs. They keep them on drugs, psych drugs. And they walk around like a bunch of zombies. And we got to know families that would be waiting in line. And one family, I'll never forget, their son had been there 7 years, and they were so concerned they were never, ever going to be able to get him out. And, of course, that goes into your mind, oh, my gosh, is he going to be lost in the system? Is he going to be stuck here? He'll die here. Once I knew he was saved, I was okay, but that, it was a nightmare. It was hard. It was very hard, but again, but God, he was with us. 4 months. The last time we went in to see him, I'll tell you, I was wearing down on this. And coming home, Bill asked me to drive. And I did. And we had K-Wave or our tapes on or something. And all I could do was, I remember so well driving down that freeway, asking God to get us home safely because I was upset. But also to get our son out of there. Have you ever just talked to God and you're screaming with inside of yourself? Please, I was pleading with God, please release our son. Do you know the following week we got a call and they were sending him back down to Orange County Jail and then to Theo Lacey? And I went to his court hearing and he would never admit. He didn't want a felony. He knew how hard that would be on his record. He finally was to the place of brokenness, and we went to see him, and he finally, for the first time in 20 years, told us how sorry he was for what he had put the whole family through, for what he had done to his precious daughter, who was now 19. I forget the math, but she's 22 now, but at that point, that was 2007. September 2nd, 2007. And that day the week before, she had gone with my Bill to see her daddy, and we knew he was going to probably be getting out. And she said, please, Dad, when you get out, please don't go back to drugs. Please don't do drugs anymore. And he didn't want to lie to her. And he said, I don't know that I can promise you that. I don't want to, but I'm a drug addict. And he said as he was sitting there, all of a sudden, he just felt the power of God within him take it out. Do you know that he totally delivered him? And I've heard of this happening to people. It happens. It happened to our Randy. God totally delivered him from the drugs. He's clean. He's sober. He's never gone back to that lifestyle, ever. And I praise God. And we give all the glory to God. It's God in him, Christ in him. It's making that choice to give his life daily. He gets up every morning before he goes to work. He has a good job now. Do you know that in 2012, February of 2000, they expunged his record? He doesn't have a felony anymore. There is a thing out there, if you know anyone going through that, because with a felony, it's so hard to get a job. They have a program where if you are doing good, they will expunge it. It just take it off your record, so it won't hurt you from getting employment. And God did that for Randy. That was a gift, such a gift. And through these trials, something I wanted to encourage you with is, I'll admit, I cried buckets of tears for my Randy through the years. I cried buckets for my husband When he was first put in the hospital, he went in very, very weak. And we didn't know what was wrong. And I was walking the halls at Hogue, and all I saw was cancer. And I go by the cancer building where the oncologists are, and I'd be driving out for 3 days praying, oh God, please don't let this be cancer. He had gone through terrible migraine headaches for years. He had had health issues for a long time. But this, I thought, this will kill him. Well, it was cancer, and it was stage 4, and he did almost die. Held his hand one day when he almost went into cardiac arrest. Thank God I hadn't left the home. I turned around. He had a doctor's appointment. Said he couldn't go that morning. He said, could you call, honey, and change it to the afternoon when you get home? I said, sure. So I'm walking out, and I turn around, and I look at him. I know it was the Holy Spirit going, go get him and get him to the doctor. And I did, and I held his hand and got him there in time, and they were able to bring him back. And he's still here. It's 2014 now. It's been 11 years. They gave him 5. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. He does have a thoracic aneurysm here. It's 4.9. If it goes into the 5s or by 6, and a leaky valve, he'll have to have open heart surgery. But you know what? Our lives are in God's hands. And he has walked us through it all, and he's still holding our hands. And you would think with what we went through with Randy and Bill's health, that's enough, isn't it? Well, it wasn't. God had other plans. When was it? 2008. April of 2008, we had come home from church, and I was sitting there. And I felt pressure in my chest. I felt my arm kind of tingling. And my daughter's an RN, and she was working that day, and she called, and she knows me so well. We're very close. And she said, Mom, are you okay? And I said, I'm not. I don't feel very good. And I told her what's going on. Give the phone to Dad. Get her down, you know. So down to Hogue we go. And the ER doctor was wonderful, and he asked me all these questions, did all these tests, and he said, your heart's fine. Follow up with a cardiologist. I did later that summer. My heart was fine. Praise God. But he asked me, is anything going on? And I said, I've been dealing with some very excruciating pain in my neck. He ordered an MRI. Well, the next day, I was before a neurosurgeon. I have what they call an AVF, arterial venous fistula. So long, you learn all this medical lingo, don't you, when you're going through these trials. We've learned so much about cancer and that, and we have so much more. I don't want to learn anymore, actually. But it's a very rare thing. Don't, if you got a bad neck, don't get scared. It's very rare. But it's very dangerous because mine was very close to breaking loose. What it is, it's your veins entangled with an artery. Sometimes it's just a few veins, but mine was at my stem, brain stem here. And of course, I had a very complex one, right? It was a mess. So the neurosurgeon sent me to a neuroradiologist who did a 2-hour angiogram to embolize it. And when he came in to see me, he said, I got 90% of it, but I couldn't get the last 10%. We were in there too long. I was concerned that you could stroke, and I decided we need to stop. And he said, I've seen where they've taken care of themselves because we've done so much. So that was the prayer through the summer. He said, in August, we'll do another MRI and see where you're at. Okay, so again, had so many people praying. And we go to see him after the MRI, and he said, Jerry didn't take. It's, you still have 10%. I can live with that. He said, if you were my wife or my daughter, sister, whoever, I'd insist, go see the neurosurgeon. You need to have this taken care of. Well, I walked out of there in shock. I was numb. I couldn't believe what I was hearing because that meant I had to go through a craniotomy. They were going to get into my head. Not a good thing, no. But it was scary. And so I went to see the neurosurgeon. He set everything up. And I was just trying to deal with this. They weren't going to do it for right away. I've got my notes somewhere. The date, it doesn't matter. It was August 21st, I went in for a craniotomy. But I went before the Lord. I really was in shock. And I asked Bill the other day, I said, do you remember when we got into the car after hearing that? I said, all I remember is walking out like in limbo land and just feeling shock. I said, did I break down and cry? He said, I don't remember that you did. I said, I don't either. Maybe I didn't. That's okay. So anyway, we go in for the craniotomy. And the verse the Lord gave me was in Hebrews 13, I will never leave you or forsake you. I could just see him holding my hand while I was doing the surgery. And I asked the doctor, I said, how do you do this? Do you lay me on a table, sit me in a chair? And he said, aren't you concerned about your hair? I said, no, I assume you're going to shave it. And he didn't. He just put goop on it and cut. But it was going in with whatever he uses to saw into your head. That's what freaked me out. But I got through that surgery, and I came home, and I had some issues with my eyes and my head, and I started just dealing with a lot of swelling, tremendous swelling. They kept me on steroids, and it wasn't fun. But the times with our Lord, my quiet times, and just feeling his presence, I just felt so enfolded in his arms of love, and he was taking care of me. And my whole life was turned upside down. I had been so busy, so healthy for so long. We had walked through so much. When Bill was going through his thing, I mean, I had to end up working our business for a while. Thank God I could do that. I had full-time ministry going. 2 young grandchildren I tried to watch on Fridays for my daughter. I didn't want to miss out on that. So much had gone on. And all of a sudden, it's like, it's all gone. I'm stripped. But not of everything. Not of him. He told me he wanted to take me to a place of rest and just be bathed in his presence. I just want you to sit and be bathed in my presence. And Jerry, like Paul, and I've got the verse now, I think it's Philippians, where he said he had to learn to be content. Well, that's what God wanted to teach me, to just be content, live very simply. Because I couldn't drive for almost 2 years. I couldn't clean and cook. And you're probably going, ooh, that sounds good. No, it isn't. When it's gone, boy, do you appreciate being able to clean. I just started cleaning again. It takes me 3 days where it used to take me 1. But I'm doing it because it's good for me to be able to do this again. And it helps our family. I always took care of our family. And I wasn't able to. Because I had complication after complication. I had, in 10 months, 7 brain surgeries. The shunt in my head, and if you want to feel the valve, it's here. I ended up from so much brain swelling that just wouldn't go away that they ended up having to put a VP shunt in my head. Some of you are probably very familiar with it if you've had a preemie. Mostly children have them. But some adults get them too. Well, I did. And they can never take it out. I would die, the doctor told me. So they did that, and there's this tubing that goes down here, and it's just really bizarre. And sometimes you can feel the liquid, the fluid going down, and the whole thing is very weird. But 7 surgeries and complication after complication. And again, so many people were praying. But you know what? God has a plan and a purpose. And you either trust him and lean into him, and you grow stronger in your relationship, or you get bitter. And through it all, Bill and I chose to lean into Jesus, to trust him, and to grow closer. because we are looking forward to his return. We are looking forward to not the great tribulation for the people who will go through it, but to being in the new heaven and earth and all that God is planning and preparing for you and me. It's going to be so glorious. And so, yes, he's going to take us through times of suffering. And by the way, I ended up having an 8th surgery in 2009. I got sick again, was not doing well. The scans looked fine, as far as he could see. He sent me to a neurologist who ran all kinds of tests, wondering if I had MS or something else neurologically wrong, and nothing. They didn't know what was wrong with me, what to do with me. And I kept going downhill to the point where I needed a walker. I ended up being taken up in a wheelchair. And my neurosurgeon said, Jerry, and he went through this list, we need to go in, and he went this time through here, I have a hole here, to the middle of your brain, and it's very dangerous, and I can only be in there for seconds, like 20 seconds. I think God gave him like 30. He said, there's been so much debris from all the surgeries you've gone to, and it's just, I don't know the medical, what all was going on, but I was messed up. And he gave me the list of what could go wrong with him going in there, and it was horrendous. And I said, and he's a Christian, and I said, you know, Dr. Mahonan, of all the lists you gave me, I'll take death. I'm ready. You know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. Please, I don't want all the things he listed. They were pretty horrendous. Well, he got in and he got out, and I got home, and I had a long recovery again. And I still have some issues. If you ever see me kind of wobble, maybe I'm tired. It affects my walking. I have other things. It's not a big deal. God is with me, and he gets me through, and he gets my husband through all the things. And we love him so much. And I just want to encourage you. Our suffering has a purpose. He's entrusted it to us. Just as Peter is telling the people back then, they were being martyred. I mean, what they were going through, it was so horrendous. But you and I, we're going through things that are horrendous for us too, in a different way. But it's all to God's glory. And remember, try to keep that visual of your wedding gown and what you're going to look like for your bridegroom. And that what he allowed you through, he's entrusted it to you. And so just pray to your glory, Lord, empower me to glorify you through this, to touch lives for your kingdom. Let it draw people, unbelievers, to you. That's what it's all about. And it's worth it. Would I go through it again? If that's what God wanted, yes, I can say that. Do I want to go through it again? No, no way. And I don't know what's going to happen today, tomorrow, and neither do you. We don't know what God's going to take us through and allow in our lives. But this we know, he is with us and for us. And I can tell you, God is good all the time. All the time, our holy, holy God is good. Shall we pray? Father God, I thank you so much for these precious women. You know exactly what they're going through. You know some of them are really going through some very hard times. And I thank you, Lord, that you are with them and for them, and you will see them through as they yield and surrender to your control. That is the key. Living and walking in the power of the Spirit of God, saturating ourselves with your holy, holy words, keeping our eyes fixed on you, trusting you, that's genuine faith. We love you so much, and I thank you, and I pray that each and every one of us will continue to be drawn closer and closer to you each day, touch lives for your kingdom, and be ready, Lord, for the moment you come and take us home, however you decide to do it, Lord. Maranatha, Maranatha, we do pray. Come soon, Lord Jesus. And in your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Stay here.
You are right.
Stay here.
Thank you.
Something that stood out to me when she was sharing about her son hearing voices. And right away, I thought, after he accepted the Lord, he still hears a voice.
Yes.
Not voices.
Yeah.
And it really stood out to me on that. He hears a voice now. And the amount of time that we are in the midst of our trials, the amount of time on this earth that we spend, or the Lord takes us through those trials, it's just a short time. It came to pass. It didn't come to stay. We have a much greater road ahead of us with the Lord. So thank you so much, Jerry, for sharing with us this morning.
So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up, hands up, hands up, all believers,
take up your cross and carry it all.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.